This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a celebration of red, ripe Creole tomatoes, conversation with artists who are giving back to the community with a unique project, or a profile of a local jazz singer whose new CD is receiving critical acclaim. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The 28th Annual Creole Tomato Festival gets underway this weekend. This signature event of the French Market is bigger this year with more music and juicy, ripe tomatoes in all their glory. Joining me now to talk about this much-anticipated festival are French Market Corporation's Marketing Director, Amy Kirk, and Katie Gray of New Orleans Tomato Company. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amy, I understand when the Tomato Festival kicks off this year, it will be love at first bite for many participants.
Yes, we're starting a new tradition of kicking off the festival with a first bite of the fest, which is exactly what it sounds like. And if you make your way to the Abita Beer main stage by 10:30, we will be doing a combination first bite and ripe and ready rally, where we'll hand out 50 complimentary fresh Creole tomatoes. And then with the leadership of some local celebrities and chefs, we will take that bite. And then we will get going with a second line with the Young Pinstripes Brass Band.
I understand the festival is growing. How is it that you are making a bigger imprint this year?
The footprint is really from Dumaine to Barracks. It's just that we've been able to put more in that space and focus it all on the tomato this weekend because the festivals that we have shared the weekend with are not the same weekend. So it's all tomatoes all weekend.
Wow.
At the French Market. Yeah.
Before it was the Seafood Festival and the Cajun Zydeco Festival.
Exactly. Cajun Zydeco is the following weekend on the 14th and 15th. So we've really beefed up our main stage music. We really are excited about the many acts that we've put on this Abita Beer main stage and equally wonderful acts on the Dutch Alley Pavilion stage. And it's just a really neat lineup that we haven't had the opportunity to do before.
Who are some of the headliners?
Billy Ayuso and Friends on the Abita Beer main stage, the Honey Pots, Los Poboycitos, Kid Merv and All That Jazz. On the Dutch Alley stage, we have Tuxedo Jazz Band, Paul Sanchez, Kelsey May, and many others. Inside the Jazz Park, we also have some local jazz musicians doing some more program-focused kid stuff, like Jana Morgan and her band are going to do a Le Petite Tomato Sing-Along, which is really just her name for singing jazz familiar favorites with kids and families. And then we have the local group, the Chorus Girls Project, is doing this Creole Tomato Dance Cabaret, where they'll be dressed like tomatoes doing their dancing. Brassaholics, Pocket Aces Brass Band, and then Erica Falls closes it all out on the Abita Beer main stage on Sunday.
Now, many of us, Katie, wait with anticipation for the first Creole tomatoes of the season. How do they look this year?
They look great. The season has been pushed back a bit because of the heavier winter that we had this year. We had two significant freezes that kind of pushed back or delayed so much the crop, but both of the farmers that we work with said it looks great.
Tell me what sets this tomato apart from other varieties.
It's not a specific variety of seed, as you would think. It has to do with the conditions of our soil here in river parishes. And the silt, really rich, fertile soil, produced a better tasting variety of tomato. You can't get a Creole tomato anywhere other than a river parish, specifically like Plaquemine. And there is some debate on where the line stops, but I think you're pretty safe in Plaquemines Parish.
So tell me about your company, the New Orleans Tomato Company, and how you have found a way to extend the delicious flavor of the Creole tomato that we love so much in early June.
Well, my partner, Wilmock, is a chef, and he started growing tomatoes in his backyard in Lakeview and decided to make a fresh pasta sauce using our local Creole tomato. He uses fresh tomatoes. We buy them from a farm as versus, you know, his backyard. We've kind of outgrown his backyard. So we're able to jar it and use it year round.
Amy, can you tell us the different ways that people will be enjoying tomatoes at the festival?
You can buy your tomatoes. You can come and watch cooking demonstrations at the farmers market stage, demonstrating everything from Creole tomato pie to a Creole tomato cocktail. And then we are giving out free tomato samples in Dutch Alley as well throughout the festival. There's actually 16 food booths, and they're going to be everything from crepes to gazpacho to stuffed Creole tomatoes with fresh crab meat, everything you can imagine.
And you have a new festival poster by local artist Jeffrey Roche.
It's just a big, beautiful, juicy tomato with vines going all over the page. He'll be signing them on site at the souvenir booth at Ursuline, and we've got 300 copies, limited supply.
So as we delight in this red, ripe Louisiana delicacy, do you say tomato or tomato?
I still say tomato, but I say Creole tomato.
True dat. Amy Kirk with the French Market Corporation and Katie Gray of the New Orleans Tomato Company. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you at the fest.
It's time to eat.
Okra, corn, and tomato.
The Creole Tomato Festival takes place Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. in the French Market District. New Orleans artists often give back to the community. They might donate artwork for auction or apply their touch to a specific object for a benefit. Some local artists have combined those approaches. They've built a playhouse, a bright cottage for kids to play in. That's also a work of art. It will find a home through an old-fashioned raffle to raise money for CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates for Children. WWNO's Eve Tro has more about the CASA Playhouse.
Wheel your cart into the Winn-Dixie on Carrollton Avenue and be warned, you might get distracted from your grocery list by a house. It's a typical New Orleans-looking affair.
You know, it's got the front porch, it's got the hip roof and the chimney up top. And everything's crooked.
Matthew Holdren built the house, a pint-sized cottage about 9 feet by 5 feet. The designer and woodworker says the just-might-topple-over feel was inspired by collaborator Terrence Osborne, the painter.
I kind of played on the idea of Terrence's crooked houses that he does, the New Orleans shotgun. It was actually really fun to kind of mock up in the yard at the shop and go against plumb lines and level lines and just bend things and push walls in different directions until it came alive.
Holdren builds with reclaimed materials and leaves his work with a natural finish, bare wood. Terrence Osborne is known for frenetic, technicolor New Orleans scenes. Osborne gave the raw wood a coat of many colors, purples, reds, greens, and blues.
It's real cute, real colorful. The whole thing almost looks like one of my paintings in 3D.
The house, he says, brought his painting work closer to sculpture.
To do a piece of this magnitude that you can actually walk around it is a whole different experience for me.
So, new genre for you?
Yes, the first. I'm already thinking about ways to do that, dive in a little more.
The two also worked with interior designer Maria Barcelona and landscaper Matthew Ponsetti. The point of this whimsical piece goes beyond creative collaboration and innovation, though. It's being raffled off to raise funds and awareness for Jefferson CASA. That's the Jefferson Parish Court-Appointed Special Advocates Program. The team of more than 160 volunteers gets involved to improve the lives of abused or neglected children by representing them in court and being sure their needs are met while in foster care. Jefferson CASA Executive Director Emily Remington.
CASA advocates are able to talk to everyone in a child's life, doctors, social workers, counselors, principals, teachers, t-ball coach, anyone who's involved in that child's life. The CASA advocate is tasked with presenting what is in the best interest of the child.
The volunteers dedicate 8 to 15 hours a month. They determine what's best for the child, who's not in the full-time care of a parent or legal guardian.
whether that is more time with dad or more tutoring or more dental visits, eyeglasses, whatever it might be.
Her group helped nearly 400 children last year. Right now, more than 30 children are on the waiting list. She hopes the Playhouse can help recruit volunteers. CASA teams elsewhere have also raffled playhouses. Remington loves that this house is distinctly New Orleans.
I love the inside. It has a chandelier and stars on the ceiling. Certainly nothing I played in as a child was as elaborate as this.
For designer and builder Matthew Holdren, the form of a playhouse has roots.
I built a lot of tree houses. That was kind of where I started in construction. My father was a carpenter in Vermont, so he would bring a bunch of scrap home from work, and so it was reclaimed from the beginning, and quite a few tree houses.
During the build, he says, neighborhood kids lit up at the sight of it. Artist Terrence Osborne thinks of the children who need help through CASA. He got involved with the organization because his wife, Stephanie, was adopted. He's eager for whoever wins it to feel joy from the playhouse.
It naturally makes you feel happy. To experience anything that a human took his time to focus attention on for hours or weeks, for that to be a gift to someone, it's a special thing.
The Playhouse will be raffled June 20th. Both artists hope to build another one, maybe next time with a porch swing. For WWNO, I'm Eve Troe.
Tickets are available to win the Playhouse through June 19th at CASAPlayhouse.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm Diane Mack. New Orleans jazz singer Cindy Scott's new CD, Historia, is garnering widespread critical acclaim and solid airplay on jazz radio around the country. Historia features a mix of standards and Cindy Scott originals, an all-star band, and several Scott duets with multi-Grammy nominee Karen Allison. WWNO's Fred Kasten has this Cindy Scott profile.
Cindy Scott grew up in North Mississippi in a home steeped in music. Her father, for instance, was a musician and music educator.
Kind of a jack of all trades musically. He played harmonica and he played drums and saxophone. And he was a little bit on the folk side of music. And of course, clarinet was his major instrument, and so he got his feet very involved in classical and band music.
And Cindy Scott's mother taught piano.
There was always music in the house, and we always, in every family gathering, there was music. We sang and we played, and we sang folk songs and did all kinds of stuff. My mother always played. My dad always played harmonica. And when I was old enough and could, I played flute. One of my sisters played French horn, and she always wrote songs and sang. The other one played clarinet.
Did you guys have a piano in the house?
Oh, yes. We had a piano in the house. In fact, my mother still has a piano in her house. She lives in Mexico, and she has a Yamaha baby in her house, and
nice.
She still plays. And yeah, it's really been a very big part of my whole life. And I tried not to make it a profession, but somehow that didn't work for very long.
Couldn't avoid it, ultimately.
Exactly.
Scott took a few piano lessons from her mom, started flute at 11, got a fairly quick introduction to the American songbook and the sound of jazz vocal harmony.
Started, like, really listening to jazz pretty early. I don't know if this was actually jazz, but my dad had all the Linda Ronstadt Nelson Riddle Orchestra recordings.
Right.
And I loved Linda Ronstadt because my voice is a little like hers. And so I fell in love with the songs. I didn't know she wasn't really a jazz. It didn't matter to me that she wasn't a jazz singer because I could have cared less about genre then.
Right.
I just was drawn to the actual music, and it was this beautiful bed that she sang over, and she was a beautiful singer. So she was a big influence in those young years, and that's how I learned my first repertoire was from her. And then a friend of mine, when I was in the eighth grade, gave me a bootleg cassette tape of Manhattan Transfer, and I loved it. And I memorized all the songs and all the solo, you know, all the vocalese stuff. And I don't know why I did that. Nobody, you know, my parents didn't push any of that on me. I was just attracted to it my own self very organically.
What were some of the tunes on that Manhattan Transfer tape? Do you remember?
Yeah, Tuxedo Junction, Corner Pocket. I could sing that vocalese right now for you.
Yeah.
Cherry pink and apple blossom white. That's right, pink and white. I will tell you right. Who'd have ever believed a guy that holds a fool was such romantic? That's enough.
That's good. Cindy Scott sang for fun, got some formal vocal training in her church choir, but really began to discover her voice at an impromptu late-night jam session in a club in Europe during her junior year abroad.
This guy played piano and didn't know the guy. And he got up, he's about 21 or something, and 22, and he gets up and starts playing on the piano in the bar, and he started playing something I knew, some jazz song. It was Route 66, I think, or something like that. And so I got up and started singing with him. And the owner of the club got all excited. Oh my gosh, y'all sound incredible. You have to come back and play here. And so I was like, I don't know any songs. I can't do this. And so the piano player said, Yes, you can. He was German. And so about a month later or something, I had learned 20 songs. And we came in and did a show. And all of our friends, the students, came to the gig. And the owner paid us a little bit, and we passed the hat and made a little bit of money, and that was it. I was just totally like, yeah, I really like this.
Back in the U.S., Cindy Scott sang in a rock cover band her senior year at LSU. She won a spot in the jazz band at the University of South Carolina, where she earned a master's in international business, then pursued that career, ultimately landing in Houston.
So I spent 10 years living in Houston, and even though I had, well, some of that time I was working abroad, but even though I had a day job, I was building repertoire during that time. I was doing a bunch of gigs. I was learning how to put a book together and write my own lead sheets. And that's when I started learning about jazz theory. I had some amazing mentors and colleagues, and I grew a lot.
So much that she eventually decided to move to New Orleans to enter the master's degree jazz studies program at UNO. She and her husband arrived here in 2005, just in time to see their Lakeview home swamped by 11 feet of water after Katrina. But they made it back to New Orleans in early 2006 and have been here ever since.
It was pioneer days there, as you know, for a while. But it was a very enriching experience, too, because I think, you know, all of us who went through that have this bond that's never going to go away, that I'm not sure I could have forged without that horrifying experience. Right. So that's the silver lining for me. And I also think that it added a depth to my own music. And it kind of taught, it's like, well, you know, it really reinforces that you get this one shot. So don't hold back. Just put your whole self into whatever it is you're trying to do.
Cindy Scott's latest project is her new CD, Historia, which opens with her lyric to Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie's Shaw Nuff.
Lyrically, it's a song about not being afraid to connect with people and to try new things, new foods or whatever. Like, get yourself out of your house. Go experience life, because if you don't, it's going to pass by.
You there sitting in the dark and playing games. Trying hard to keep your everything the same. Look around, cause there's a life with your name on it. Better find it.
Now, Historia features pianist Randy Porter, bassist Dan Loomis, and drummer Jameson Ross, plus special guests Shannon Powell, Evan Christopher, Brian Seeger, and Grammy-nominated singer Karen Allison.
I was a fan before I knew her. When I was first trying to get out in Houston and sing, I wanted to work on scat singing. I could not scat sing. Nobody really encouraged me, but I just had it in my head that I had to work on this. And so I was looking for material to listen to. Came across this Concord Records compilation that Chris Potter was on. I knew him. I'm like, oh, I got to see what he's up to, blah, blah, blah. And Karim was on that record. It was a live performance at the festival. And she scat sang. And I was like, I love this woman. She's amazing. And she was the first person, you know, I had been listening to Billy and Sarah and Ella and John Hendricks and all those amazing people that are huge influences. But she was the first person that I fell in love with that was out there doing what I wanted to do.
One of the most powerful pieces on Historia comes from Mexico, Historia de un Amor.
I tour in Mexico quite a bit, and one of my bandmates asked me to learn this song for his grandmother. And I did, and I loved the song, but I couldn't find any English lyrics. There must be some, but I just could not find any, so I wanted to write them because I wanted to do it in the States, and I didn't want to only do it in Spanish.
Another emotionally resonant song on the CD, Laura Lee, marries Cindy Scott's lyric to an instrumental by guitarist Brian Seeger.
He wrote a song called Buffalo Trace, and it's a beautiful song, and I was driving on the Buffalo Trace one time, and I kind of just all of a sudden had this flash of a story. Well, what happened was I had letters from the Civil War from some ancestor. They were in a family Bible that was passed down to me that I lost in the flood. He wasn't patriotic to the Confederacy. I mean, there was none of that. He just was homesick, and he was cold, and he was hungry, and his friends were dying, and, you know, he was really, he just wanted to be with the people he loved. That's what the message was in all three of the letters. And so I just kind of said, well, I need to, this song wants me to tell that story.
I can hear the campfire burning. I close my eyes and still I see.
All in all, Cindy Scott is pleased with the way Historia documents the current state of her art and thinking.
It honors my family. It honors my roots, my musical roots, my philosophical roots, and it honors how I think about life now.
Singer Cindy Scott, her highly recommended new CD is Historia. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Kasten.
Wrap up some of that sunshine and put it in your pocket for a rainy day. Get your share of good loving. Sometimes too much thinking can get in the way. Nobody said it was...
That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.